Most of us have a gap in our educational background, one that has cost some of us a great deal. So-called financial literacy, basic training in handling money and avoiding the many pitfalls attendant on failing to understand how financial systems work. Denise Esposito is Executive Director for the Hawaii Council on Economic Education, whose mission it is to promote and improve the teaching of economics in Hawaii's public and private schools. When we spoke the other day, she said that she, like many, grew up with gaps in her financial literacy.
I think the one thing that I didn't learn when I was younger is credit card percentage rates, how much interest they charge you.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that if you have $2,000 in credit card debt, and $5,000 in the bank, you should use that money to pay off the credit card debt.
Yeah.
And these are the kinds of things that we want to teach teachers and
that
students.
A $2,000 credit card debt can eat up, you know, more than twice that sum, right?
That's correct.
If you take long enough.
Yep. Yep.
It took a long time to get the, you know, now with the credit card report, you get this thing of if you pay it at the asked for rate, it'll take you this long to pay it off. But it took a long time, and probably I would suspect quite a bit of lobbying and resistance to get that on your credit card report, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It took a lot of lobbying, a lot of time. Yeah.
What's the what's behind the effort to promote financial literacy? How did that? Is that a grassroots effort?
There's actually a national organization, the National Council on Economic Education, and every state has its affiliate council, mm-hmm. and they promote financial literacy and economics in schools by holding workshops for teachers and programs for students. So,
what are the kind of things, you know, when you walk into class on that first day, what are the kind of things that the teachers tell you to kind of set the stage?
Budgeting, saving. So budgeting first, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, where the money is coming from and where it's going.
Right.
And then if there's any leftover money, savings, investing. Mm-hmm. And so those are the steps that we kind of go through as far as financial literacy and
budgeting, savings before investing.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
I would think the order at which these things were taught would be extremely important.
Yes, because a lot of people now don't have enough savings to really start investing, so you have to teach people how to budget.
Yeah.
That's your first step, I think, in personal finance.
And then, of course, investing. Now we're getting into the area of risk.
Yes.
And understanding risk.
And long-term investing, too, realizing that you're not going to be buying and selling stocks. You're going to let them sit there for years and years and years, and then at the end, you'll have this nice retirement income, hopefully.
If you pick the right stock.
That's correct, yeah.
But, you know, then how do you sort of, I mean, it's a form of gambling, which requires a certain amount of temperament, you know, to calm yourself down during the tough times when that stock goes down. Mm-hmm. How do you convey that kind of state of mind?
Well, you know, I remember in 2008 looking at our retirement accounts and how they were hit so badly by what happened in 2008. And my husband very wisely said, you just have to wait it out. It's going to eventually come back. Mm-hmm. And it did. And we see that today where the markets have all come back very nicely. And the money that we had lost, we've made back since 2008. So I think you just have to be – put your emotions aside and be logical and just stay the course, I think.
You know, these things that come under the banner of financial literacy are so fundamental to having any kind of a livable life. Hmm. And yet it really is, when you think about it, remarkable that none of us had any training on this.
And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to instill in teachers to take financial literacy and economics and put them into every single class that you teach, because everything is economics, scarcity, demand, things like that.
So, I mean, as opposed to a separate class, mm-hmm. you integrating the whole notion of financial literacy into, say, history class, current affairs, that kind of
thing. Yes, yes, just like that. We really are into the concept of integrating rather than a separate class.
Yeah. Well, say, how would you integrate it into a history class, for example?
You could just look at the economics, let's say, of wartime.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at World War II, World War I, and see how the economy was affected by war. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very – I mean, what happens is the economy is actually stimulated when there's war.
Yeah.
So
industries, mm-hmm. factories are working around the clock and things. which is one of the more counterintuitive things about war, because when a lot of the prosperity of in America of the 1950s was attributed to the Second World War.
That's true. That's true.
When you teach that, do people understand it? Were they aware of it?
I think so. I think when you're in the middle of a war like that, though, you're not really aware of how the economics are working. I think it's something that you look back on and analyze. Yeah.
Well, economics has been traditionally seen as hard to teach, you know, the dismal science and all that kind of thing. So how would you, in a teaching capacity, sort of say, in effect, you know, this is a subject that's frequently thought of as a little on the dull side, but it's pretty important. How do you sell that?
You can really jazz up economics.
Can you?
You can make it a lot of fun. I know some teachers, there's a lot of university professors out there that do things like Shark Tank for the entrepreneur side of finance, or they do videos where students compete in creating videos that talk about economic theory, but they're fun videos, and they take lyrics from songs and change it into an economic bent. So there's a lot of really creative things out there that teachers are doing, and that's what we're trying to do here. Is even in Hawaii, there's a lot of creative teaching that's going on, and that's why we award a Teacher of the Year and a School of the Year every year for this innovative economic
for kind of
curriculum.
Being able to bring financial literacy into the classroom.
Yes. Yes.
Well, because when you think about economics, it's seen as not very exciting, but if you're either making or losing a lot of money, that's pretty exciting.
It's pretty exciting.
You get
the losing part.
No, well, I mean, that's exciting in a in a negative way,
in a negative
right?
way.
But,
yes.
But at the same time, so that, I guess if you bring the whole issue down to how it's going to affect you, the student's life, that's the way to sort of bring them into this, isn't it?
And one area that I think is really important now is, especially in high school, is to teach students how to budget and how to save, and then teach them about debt, especially when it comes to financing your college education.
Denise Esposito is Executive Director for the Hawaii Council on Economic Education. Its mission is to promote and improve the teaching of economics in Hawaii's public and private schools and increase the economic and financial literacy of Hawaii's students and residents. HCEE will be holding its annual awards dinner on September 21st at the Hilton Hawaiian Village in Honolulu to celebrate champions in economic education.